Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Sex Slave Auction, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Invitation. I was in the middle of my usual evening ritual, a glass of bourbon neat, the fire casting restless shadows on the leather of my armchair, when the envelope arrived. It was hand-delivered, no knock, no warning. Just there. A thick, black envelope resting on the glass table in front of me. It hadn't been there a moment ago. I exhaled slowly, setting my glass down before reaching for it. The weight of the envelope alone told me everything I needed to know. It wasn't ordinary. The paper was smooth yet heavy, like something crafted for royalty. The seal, a golden lion devouring its prey, glimmered under the firelight, its edges embossed so finely that I could feel every detail beneath my fingertips. I knew exactly what this was. For years, I had waited for this moment. The Black Orchid wasn't a myth. It wasn't just another underground club for the bored and depraved elite. It was something else entirely. Something older. A rite of passage for those who didn't just want power, but wanted to test the very limits of what power could do. And tonight, I was being invited to join them. I cracked the seal and pulled out the crisp parchment inside. The handwriting was elegant, done in deep black ink, and the message was as brief as it was chilling. An exclusive gathering for those with a taste for the extraordinary. Only the most daring, the most uninhibited may attend. Midnight. You know where. My pulse quickened. Of course, I knew where. The Black Orchid Estate was a name spoken only in hushed tones, even among the world's wealthiest circles. Hidden outside the city, behind iron gates taller than most buildings, the estate was a world of its own. No roads led to it. No records of its ownership existed. No government dared to acknowledge its presence. It was a place where morality died and indulgence reigned. It wasn't about simple sex or money. Those were commodities beneath the people who attended. This was about something darker, deeper, more forbidden. The club's true purpose was power. To take men and women who believed they could never be controlled, and prove them wrong. Midnight arrived like a whispered threat. The drive was long, the black SUV moving silently through winding back roads, past thick trees that seemed to close in the closer we got to our destination. No streetlights. No signs. Only the occasional flicker of movement in the woods, something too fast to be human, too deliberate to be an accident. Finally, we reached the gates. Towering, adorned with the same lion insignia as the invitation. Two guards in tailored suits, their presence more military than security, stood wordlessly as the car approached. One of them raised a scanner, letting the laser glide over my face before nodding once. Identity confirmed. No words were exchanged. The gates slid open, and we entered the abyss. The estate was something out of a fever dream, a monument to excess, its structure a blend of classic European architecture and something far more sinister. The main house stretched like a beast across the land. Endless archways, towering pillars, and walls that had been there for centuries, bearing witness to secrets that had never seen daylight. The moment I stepped inside, I could feel it. The air was thick with something beyond perfume and cigars. Anticipation. Hunger. The scent of people who had come to push the very boundaries of pleasure and pain. They were already gathered. Men in perfectly tailored suits, women draped in gowns that barely clung to their bodies, all of them wearing the same expression. That barely contained smirk of people who knew they could buy and sell lives with a single word. And then, at the center of it all, stood the architects of the night. Victor and Helena St. James. Even in this world, they were different. Victor was tall, broad-shouldered, with the kind of sharp-jawed arrogance that only came from generations of inherited wealth. He didn't walk so much as own the space around him, his presence a gravitational pull. Helena stood beside him, green eyes as cold as a winter storm, her gown an obscene mixture of elegance and exposed flesh. Her beauty wasn't soft, it was the kind that destroyed men. And she knew it. They weren't just the hosts. They were the predators. The murmurs in the room silenced as Victor stepped onto the marble stage, standing before the velvet curtain that concealed whatever nightmare was waiting behind it. He raised his glass. "Welcome, my friends." His voice was smooth, practiced. The voice of a man who had never heard the word no in his life. "Tonight, we are not here for the usual games. Tonight, we are not playing for money. We are playing for something far more valuable." Helena stepped beside him, her painted lips curling into a knowing smirk. "Tonight, we play for flesh." The reaction was instant. Even among these people, these monsters, a shift rippled through the room. Some laughed, amused. Others straightened in their seats, suddenly interested. And some looked afraid. They weren't supposed to be. They had come here to watch, to witness depravity at a distance. But now, they realized something they should have known all along. They were never just the audience. Victor let the tension settle before continuing, his voice like silk-wrapped steel. "Power means nothing unless it is tested." His gaze flickered over the crowd. "So tonight we test it. We test you." Helena's nails trailed down his arm, slow and deliberate. "A wager," she purred. "One with the highest of stakes." Victor's smile widened. "The rules are simple. Each of you has something to bet, your pride, your dignity, your control. If you win, you take from the loser whatever you desire." He let the weight of his words settle before delivering the final blow. "And if you lose," Helena's green eyes gleamed, "you belong to the winner. Completely." The silence that followed was suffocating. A few smirked, intrigued. Others shifted uncomfortably. They were beginning to understand. This wasn't a game anymore. Then, from the back of the room, a deep, amused laugh broke the silence. It wasn't Victor. It wasn't any of the elites. I turned, and for the first time that night, I felt something colder than fear. Because the man stepping forward, the man who laughed, was not supposed to be here. His dark eyes locked onto mine, filled with something I couldn't quite place. And then he lifted his glass. "Sounds like fun." And just like that, the game had begun. Chapter 2: The Rules of the Game. The laughter still lingered in the air, dark and amused, as the man in the back lowered his glass. All eyes turned toward him. He wasn't like the others. In a room filled with men who had been born into power, men who carried their wealth like a crown they never had to fight for, he was something else. He didn't look like money, not in the way Victor did, with his custom-tailored three-piece suit that probably cost more than most people's homes. No, this man was different. His suit was simple, well-fitted but understated. Black on black, no embellishments. His face held no trace of the indulgent arrogance the others carried, no soft edges that came from a life of luxury. His jaw was sharp, his dark eyes unreadable, his expression void of fear or curiosity. He looked like someone who had walked through fire and come out unscathed. And that made him dangerous. Victor studied him, intrigued but not yet threatened. Helena, on the other hand, was watching him like a wolf watches a stranger in its territory, cautious, but ready to strike. Victor was the first to break the silence. "It seems we have a volunteer." The man smiled, slow and deliberate, stepping forward as the crowd instinctively parted for him. He walked like a predator, like a man who had seen too much, who had long since stopped being impressed by theatrics. "Not a volunteer," he corrected smoothly. "Just someone who enjoys watching the powerful gamble with things they think they'll never lose." A few guests chuckled, though it was forced, uneasy. Victor tilted his head, considering him. "And what is it you believe we will lose tonight?" The man took another step forward. "Control." Victor's jaw tensed ever so slightly. It was subtle. Most wouldn't have noticed, but I did. This was his game. His house. No one challenged him here. Helena's lips curled into a slow, calculating smile. "You speak as though you are an outsider," she mused, her voice laced with curiosity. "And yet you are here." The man didn't answer immediately. Instead, he reached into his jacket slowly, making sure every eye in the room watched. And when his hand emerged, he held his own invitation, identical to the ones the rest of us had received, but with one key difference. His seal was not gold. It was black. The shift in the room was instantaneous. The guests who understood what that meant stiffened. A few exchanged glances, subtle but telling. Others, the ones who weren't familiar with the deeper mechanics of the Black Orchid, simply looked confused. Victor, however, stilled completely. And that was when I knew, this man wasn't supposed to be here. Helena's expression remained poised, but I could see the way her fingers lightly tapped against the stem of her champagne glass, a habit of hers when she was recalculating a situation. Well, she murmured, it seems our guest is more than he appears. Victor's lips pressed into a thin line. He did not like surprises. And yet, this man had been invited. That meant someone, somewhere in the hierarchy of the Black Orchid's shadowed elite, had allowed him in. Victor adjusted his cufflinks, his irritation smoothing into practiced indifference. Regardless, he said, his voice regaining its usual effortless authority, our guest is here, and the game must continue. His gaze swept over the crowd. For those unfamiliar with tonight's stakes, allow me to explain the rules. The rules of the game. The guest straightened as Victor signaled for one of the attendants, a woman dressed in nothing but sheer black fabric, her presence so practiced and silent she might as well have been a ghost, to step onto the stage. She carried a small, ornate wooden box, the surface inlaid with gold filigree, its edges smooth from years of use. Victor gestured toward it, his expression unreadable. Inside this box are tokens. Each one represents a gamble, a test of power, submission, or control. You will each take one, and when the time comes, you will present your token to the hosts. He paused, letting his gaze linger over the guests. Some of you will be the players. His lips curled into a slow smirk. And some of you will be the prize. The silence that followed was heavy. Some guests leaned forward, intrigued. Others swallowed hard, their expressions shifting. They had assumed they were only here to watch. Now they weren't so sure. Helena's laughter was soft, amused. Ah, but that is the fun of it, is it not? She purred. The unknown. The thrill of not knowing whether you will leave as you arrived, or as something entirely different. Victor gestured toward the box, and the first guest, an older man with graying hair and sharp blue eyes, stepped forward. He reached inside. His fingers brushed against the cool, smooth surface of the tokens before he pulled one out. He turned it over. It was black. A player. The tension in his shoulders eased. He nodded, satisfied, and stepped back. One by one, the guests followed, each reaching into the box, each revealing their fate. Some tokens were black, marking them as players. Some were red, marking them as prizes. And then, the dark-eyed man stepped forward. The stranger. He reached into the box, pulled out his token, and flipped it over in his palm. The entire room seemed to hold its breath. It was gold. Helena's eyes widened, just for a fraction of a second, but it was there. Victor's fingers curled into a fist at his side. Because there were only two golden tokens, and the other belonged to Victor himself. The game begins. Ah, the man murmured, examining the golden token with quiet amusement. It seems I am special. Victor's jaw clenched, because he knew exactly what that meant. Whoever held the golden tokens were the ultimate players. They were the ones who could wager anything. They were the ones who could break the rules. And that meant the stranger was now his equal. Helena's smile returned, slow and wicked. How delightful, she murmured, her green eyes gleaming. This will be interesting indeed. Victor exhaled sharply, forcing a smile as he turned to the rest of the guests. Ladies and gentlemen, he said smoothly, the game is set. His eyes flickered back to the stranger, and for the first time that evening, Victor St. James looked truly, deeply unsettled. Let us begin. Chapter 3, The Opening Bid. The air in the Black Orchid Estate was thick with the scent of cognac, burning cigars, and something far more intoxicating, power. It pulsed through the grand hall, tangible in the hushed murmurs, the shifting gazes, the unspoken tension that crackled between the guests like a slow-building storm. The stakes had been set. The golden token rested in the palm of the stranger, the uninvited guest, the one who wasn't supposed to be here. Victor St. James, a man who had orchestrated some of the most perverse games ever played within these walls, had just lost control of his own stage. His jaw was locked tight, but his expression remained smooth. He had spent decades mastering that. Never show fear. Never show uncertainty. Always maintain control. But control had just slipped from his fingers. The golden token was supposed to be his alone. And now, he had an opponent. A wild card. A player whose very presence threatened the delicately curated chaos of the Black Orchid's games. And Helena. Oh, Helena was watching the stranger like a predator, who had just spotted something new, something undiscovered, something that might be even more dangerous than she was. Her lips curved into a slow, sensuous smile. Well, well, she murmured, tilting her champagne glass and swirling the golden liquid within. It seems our dear guest has found himself in a most privileged position. She turned to the room, her voice like silk woven with steel. Shall we begin? The auction hall. The main doors swung open, revealing the next phase of the game. Beyond the velvet-lined entryway, a chamber unlike any other awaited. Larger than a ballroom, yet intimate in its design, built for spectacle and secrecy. At its center, a stage. Low-lit, bathed in crimson glow, framed by gilded bars reminiscent of a cage without walls. A place where men and women were reduced to nothing but commodities beneath the watchful eyes of those who thrived on control. The guests filtered in, taking their seats in plush leather chairs arranged in an arc around the stage. Here, money meant nothing. The currency tonight was submission. Victor ascended the platform, adjusting the cuffs of his jacket with the elegance of a man who had played this role 1,000 times. But tonight, he played it knowing he had already lost something intangible, the certainty that this was his game, his control, his power to wield. The stranger took a seat in the front row, leaning back with the casual air of a man who had nothing to lose but everything to take. His presence was an open challenge, a disruption, an unpredictable force in a world where every move had always been controlled by those at the top. Victor cleared his throat, raising a hand to signal the beginning of the auction. The first prize was brought forward. She was stunning, of course. They always were. A woman with raven-black hair cascading in soft waves over her bare shoulders, her wrists bound in delicate golden cuffs, a single silk ribbon wrapped around her neck like a leash waiting to be pulled. She stepped onto the stage gracefully, but the slight tremor in her fingers betrayed the truth. No matter how many of them pretended, no one came here willingly. Helena's eyes glittered with delight as she leaned forward, her fingers tapping against her thigh. "Shall we start the bidding?" The crowd murmured, the tension mounting. And then, the first wager was placed. A black token slid onto the velvet-lined betting table. Not money. Not wealth. Something deeper. "One night of control over my most trusted business partner," the bidder announced smoothly. "He will do as the winner commands, without question. A dangerous bet. A show of real power." The game had begun. Victor nodded approvingly, though his gaze flickered, just for a fraction of a second, toward the stranger in the front row. A silent question. Would he play? Would he raise the stakes? The stranger merely smirked. The next bid followed. A signed contract. "My influence over the senator in my pocket, his votes, his favors, all at your disposal." The crowd sighed in admiration, some in jealousy. This was what made the Black Orchid different from every other depraved, secretive club for the elite. Here, they didn't play with money. They played with souls. With lives. With power beyond the reach of ordinary men. The bidding climbed. A company mine. Its assets, its employees, its revenue stream, all for the taking. Access to military intelligence, 5 classified files that could ruin entire governments. The stakes soared higher and higher, each wager darker than the last, until the tension in the room was thick enough to choke on. And still, the stranger hadn't placed a single bid. He merely sat there, watching. Waiting. Until finally, Helena leaned forward, her green eyes alight with something sharp and hungry. "You're awfully quiet," she murmured, tilting her head. "Tell me, mysterious guest, do you not find the game exciting?" The room fell silent, waiting. The stranger exhaled slowly, his fingers drumming lazily against the arm of his chair. And then he leaned forward, placing his token onto the table with deliberate, measured ease. Not a black token. Not a red one. The golden token. The room gasped. Even Victor's mask slipped, just for a second. Helena's lips parted, her amusement turning to something else entirely. Intrigue. "Well, well," she breathed. "And what exactly is your wager?" The stranger smiled. A slow, calculated smile that sent a ripple of unease through the room. "I bid," he murmured, tapping his fingers once against the velvet. "A life." The room stilled. Helena blinked, then let out a low, almost delighted laugh. "A life, you say?" she echoed. "And whose?" The stranger's dark gaze flickered to Victor. And held. Victor's lips pressed into a thin line. Helena watched the exchange, her fingers tightening around her glass. Something had shifted. Something irreversible. The rules of the game had changed. And for the first time since the night began, Victor St. James knew what it felt like to be hunted. Chapter 4. The Game of Power and Flesh. The room did not breathe. Victor's body remained perfectly still, but I could see it, the sharp, almost imperceptible tension in his jaw. The way his fingers flexed, just once, before he steeled himself back into control. Helena, on the other hand, was thrilled. Her eyes glittered with something unholy, her lips barely hiding a smirk as she leaned forward, crossing one long leg over the other, as if she were lounging in the middle of a storm. "A life," she repeated, tapping a single, manicured finger against the stem of her champagne glass. "And whose life, exactly, do you wager?" The stranger remained as calm as he had been all night. "A man's," he said smoothly. The words should have felt vague, an avoidance, but they weren't. No, this was precision. Deliberate. A man's life. Not a name. Not a hint. Just a statement of fact. He was offering a life, and only he knew whose it would be. I could feel the rippling unease moving through the crowd, the discomfort slithering through even the most seasoned players. These were men and women who had traded secrets, bodies, influence, but this was something else. This wasn't a gamble. This was a war declaration in disguise. Victor exhaled through his nose, taking a single step forward, claiming the space, the way only a man who has never lost control of a room can. "If you wish to bid," he said, his voice measured, cold, lethal, "you must be clear. This is not a place for games." The stranger's lips curved. "No." His fingers drummed lazily against the golden token that lay before him. "I was under the impression that's exactly what this is." The tension cracked, sharp as a whip. Helena laughed, slow and rich. "Oh, I like him," she purred, shifting in her seat. "He's arrogant," Victor bit out. "He's confident," Helena corrected. Victor's gaze snapped toward her, but she was already looking back at the stranger, her expression half amusement, half intrigue. "But confidence can be tested," she mused. She lifted her hand, a lazy flick of the wrist, and one of the attendants stepped forward from the shadows, holding a small, velvet-lined tray. On it rested two wine glasses, one filled with deep, rich red wine, the other with a clear, undisturbed liquid. The moment the glasses appeared, the energy in the room shifted again. A new kind of hunger filled the air, not just anticipation, but something older, deeper, something animalistic. The Black Orchid had many traditions, but one of them stood above the rest. The drink of fate, a game within a game. Two glasses, one safe, the other not. No poison, no death. That wasn't the purpose. The concoction inside the second glass was something else. Something that bent the mind, broke the senses, turned pleasure into pain, and pain into something far worse. It was a test of control, a game of submission before the game even began. Helena gestured toward the glasses. "A wager of this magnitude requires an assurance," she murmured, watching the stranger carefully. "Would you care to drink, dear guest?" The crowd watched, breathless. If he said no, he would be exposed as a coward. If he drank, Victor's gaze darkened. He was waiting for the man to make a mistake. The stranger exhaled slowly. Then he stood up. The movement was unhurried, deliberate, the slow stretch of a predator uncoiling. Helena's pupils dilated slightly, her fingers tightening around the stem of her glass. The stranger stepped forward, his boots soundless against the marble floor. He reached for the glass of wine, lifted it, swirled it once, and then, without breaking eye contact, he reached for the second glass as well. The crowd gasped. Victor's mouth pressed into a thin, hard line. Helena's smile widened. The stranger lifted both glasses. And then, without hesitating, without so much as a flicker of doubt, he drank them both. The moment the liquid touched his lips, something in the room broke. Helena let out a shuddering exhale, her fingers pressing against her throat as if she had just felt something she wasn't prepared for. Victor's eyes narrowed, a muscle in his jaw twitching. The stranger lowered the empty glasses onto the tray. "Satisfied?" he asked. Helena's laughter was soft, breathy, almost admiring. "Oh, I am beyond satisfied." Victor didn't speak. Because he knew. Everyone knew. The stranger had just won the first move. Not because he had drunk the glass, but because he had drunk both. Because now they couldn't tell which one had been real and which had been the lie. Because now, he had turned the game into something else entirely. Something unpredictable. Something dangerous. Victor exhaled, tilting his head. "You may have courage," he murmured, "but courage does not win wars." The stranger smirked. "That's where you're wrong." He leaned forward, just slightly, his voice a whisper against the tension in the air. "Wars are won long before they begin." Helena's breath hitched. Victor's eyes burned. And somewhere in the back of the room, someone shuddered. The auction hadn't even begun. And yet, somehow everyone knew. This night would not end the way it was supposed to. And for the first time in Victor St. James' life, he wasn't certain if he would be the one in control when it was over. Chapter 5, The Broken Pieces of Control. The room felt different now. The air, once thick with indulgence, had shifted into something else. Something more, unpredictable. Power had always been an unspoken currency in the Black Orchid, traded like breath between the elite. It was meant to be absolute. Victor and Helena always ensured that. But tonight, it had slipped. Not in an obvious way. Not yet. But something had cracked beneath the surface. Because of him. The stranger. The man who wasn't supposed to be here. The man who had drunk from both glasses without a second thought, as if poison didn't scare him, as if control had no meaning to him, as if he was willing to let fate test him and still walk away unscathed. No one had ever done that before. No one had ever challenged the house and remained standing. Victor adjusted his cufflinks, a habit of his when regaining composure, but there was no hiding the way his jaw clenched for just a fraction too long. Helena? Helena was watching, studying, calculating. She had always been a woman who played men like instruments, plucking at their strengths, exploiting their weaknesses. It was her gift, her art, to unravel them while they thought they were the ones pulling the strings. And yet, now, she was the one leaning forward, her green eyes gleaming with something dangerously close to fascination. She wanted to understand him, break him. And yet, something inside her whispered that maybe, just maybe, he could not be broken. Victor knew what that meant, and he did not like it. The longer the stranger sat there, unshaken, the more Victor St. James, the architect of this entire world, felt something he had not felt in a very long time. Uncertainty. The bidding war. The first prize of the evening stood center stage. The woman, petite, flawless, her bare skin gleaming beneath the dim amber light, kept her chin lifted, as if pretending she wasn't standing there for sale. But she was. They all were. The auction was moving forward, the bidding escalating with each passing second. Tokens slid across the velvet betting table, one after the other. Black token. Red token. Power traded for bodies. Bodies traded for power. The wagers were climbing higher. Access to offshore accounts in the Caymans. A security contract for mercenaries trained in extraction and interrogation. Two private estates in Sicily. No names attached, no records. The guests didn't blink. These were real men and real women. Politicians, CEOs, crime lords disguised as philanthropists. They weren't here for pleasure. They were here for ownership. 1 month of my daughter's loyalty. She will do whatever you ask. The room stilled for a moment. A father had just bet his own flesh and blood, and no one reacted. Not with shock. Not with disgust. Only with interest. This was the Black Orchid. This was the world of those who thought they were untouchable. Victor gave an approving nod, but his gaze kept flickering back to the man in the front row. To the stranger, who had yet to make another move. Who had yet to place a second bid. Victor's fingers twitched against the armrest of his chair. He wouldn't admit it, not even to himself, but he was waiting. Waiting to see what he would do. And then, at last, the stranger moved. With deliberate ease, he slid a single black token onto the betting table. The crowd leaned in. His first bid. Victor's breath stilled. Helena's lips parted. Ah, she murmured, voice like silk. And what is it that you offer? The stranger smiled, slow, unbothered. A truth. Murmurs rippled through the room. Victor's expression darkened. Helena tilted her head. A truth, she echoed, intrigued. Yes, the stranger said. His fingers drummed once against the table before he leaned back, utterly relaxed. A truth that will unravel a lie. Victor's hand clenched. Helena froze. Because she knew. She fucking knew. She didn't know what truth he meant, not yet, but she knew he had won. And that meant something dangerous. That meant he had leverage. And no one was supposed to have leverage over them. Victor recovered quickly. Truths are meaningless unless they hold weight, he said, voice smooth. The stranger smiled again. Then let's test the weight of mine. The murmurs in the room grew louder, shifting, moving like a tide preparing to swallow the shore. Victor needed to shut this down. Helena, however, was watching with fascination. The stranger's truth, whatever it was, had just become the highest bid of the night. And for the first time, the house was no longer in control of its own game. The first loss. Victor stood abruptly, his patience cracking at the edges. Enough. The room fell silent. Helena arched a brow, but she didn't stop him. Victor St. James had built this world. He had bent kings and queens beneath his fingertips, reduced men into animals, turned women into prey. And yet, tonight he felt something slipping. He needed to end this. The auction is over, he announced. The words rang through the chamber, final, absolute. Helena's lips parted, but she didn't interrupt. Not yet. Not while Victor's anger simmered beneath his skin. Not while he was clinging to the last threads of control. The stranger stood as well, but unlike Victor, he wasn't tense. "Running already?" he murmured, amused. Victor turned to him, his jaw tight. "You have overstayed your welcome. I don't remember you being the one who invited me." A muscle ticked in Victor's cheek. The stranger took a step forward, his voice dropping just low enough that only Victor and Helena could hear. "Tell me, Victor, when was the last time someone made you feel powerless?" Victor stilled. The stranger's gaze flickered, sharp, knowing, before he smirked. "Oh," he murmured, "that's right. It's happening now." Victor's breath came too slow. Helena inhaled sharply. And just like that, Victor St. James realized the truth. He wasn't the one controlling the game anymore, because he was already losing, and he hadn't even seen it coming. Chapter 6, When Gods Fall. Victor St. James was not accustomed to losing. The entire Black Orchid had been built on the foundation of his control. Every breath taken inside these walls, every moan, every scream, every tear that fell from those who surrendered beneath him and Helena, it had all been orchestrated, measured, ensured. No one defied him. No one outmaneuvered him. And yet, as he stood there, fists clenched, heart pounding in a way he did not recognize, he understood something deeply unsettling. He was no longer the one pulling the strings. Because the stranger had cut them. Not with force. Not with money. Not with status. But with something Victor had never accounted for in all his years of playing God over others. A secret. A truth. And in this world, his world, a well-placed truth was more lethal than any knife. Helena had gone quiet beside him. It was the first time in years that she hadn't spoken when she should have. She, too, understood what was happening. She felt it. The shift in power. The cage she and Victor had spent years constructing being bent into something else. Something unrecognizable. She was no longer the one leaning forward, drinking in the fear of those trapped beneath her heel. No. Now she was watching. Studying. Realizing, with slow, simmering fascination, that maybe, just maybe, they were the ones inside the cage now. The Black Orchid's greatest secret. "This is over," Victor announced. His voice was steady, strong, unshaken on the surface. But the room felt it. The guests, some of the most powerful figures in the world, felt it. This wasn't Victor's usual way of ending a game. There was no satisfaction in his tone. No triumph. Only control slipping through clenched fists. Helena turned her gaze to him, slow, calculated. "Are you sure, my love?" she asked, too smoothly. Her fingers traced the rim of her glass, but there was no amusement behind her smile anymore. Only curiosity. Victor's jaw clenched. He knew what she was doing. She was waiting. Waiting to see if he would crack first. Because the man she had married, the man who had ruled the Black Orchid alongside her, was not himself right now. And she wanted to see why. The stranger was still standing there. Unmoved. Unbothered. His gaze remained fixed on Victor. Waiting. Testing. Victor had spent years breaking men and women in this room. Stripping them of their dignity, reducing them to nothing but puppets to be played with. But now. Now he was the one standing on fragile ground. And the stranger had brought him here with nothing but words. Victor inhaled sharply. "I said this is over," he repeated. But this time, even he could hear the difference. The crowd could hear it. Helena could hear it. And worst of all, so could the stranger. He smiled. Just a small thing, barely a curl of his lips. But it was enough. Victor took a slow step forward. "You think you've won something here?" he murmured, his voice controlled but poisonous. The stranger tilted his head, considering him. "I think," he said smoothly, "that you don't even know what game you're playing anymore." Victor stilled. The words should have meant nothing. But they did. Because, for the first time in his life, Victor wasn't sure if he knew either. The tables turn. Helena let out a slow, soft breath. A delicate thing. But Victor knew her too well. She was enjoying this. She was watching him unravel. "Darling," she purred, her fingers ghosting along the edge of the table. "Perhaps we should let our guest speak his truth." Victor's head snapped toward her. She held his gaze, unreadable. Then, with deliberate ease, she turned to the stranger. "Go on, then," she murmured. "Tell us your truth." The room waited. Victor's heartbeat pounded in his ears. The stranger took a single step forward. "My truth." His voice was low, smooth. "Very well." He exhaled, as if he had all the time in the world. Then, with nothing but calm, calculated precision, He shattered the world Victor and Helena had spent years building. The Black Orchid has a leak. The words dropped like a blade slicing through the air. The room froze. Victor's fingers twitched at his side. The stranger let the silence stretch. "Shall I continue?" he asked lightly. Helena's fingers tightened around her glass. Victor's mind raced. Because no one outside the Black Orchid knew what happened here. No one. The guests who attended, the ones who bid, the ones who sold and were sold. They all had one thing in common. They disappeared. Not forever. Not publicly. But once you were in the Black Orchid, once you had seen what took place in its deepest corners, you could never speak of it outside these walls again. That was the rule. That was the law. And yet, the stranger knew. Victor inhaled slowly. "What proof do you have?" The stranger smirked. "Oh, Victor," he said, almost disappointed. "I expected more from you." Victor's jaw locked. "You have nothing." The stranger's gaze sharpened. And then, he pulled out his phone, pressed a button, and the room erupted into sound. A voice. A familiar voice. A recording. "Victor St. James is running an underground auction. A real one. You think sex rings are bad. You think the cartel is bad. You have no fucking idea." The crowd's collective breath hitched. Victor felt something cold and violent crawl up his spine. Because he knew that voice. It belonged to someone who should have been dead. Someone he had made disappear. Helena's face went still. The stranger turned off the recording. "Shall I play the rest?" he asked. No one moved. No one breathed. Victor's mind was already moving, calculating, preparing for damage control. But it was too late, because the crowd had heard enough. And suddenly, in a room full of monsters, Victor was no longer the one they feared most. He was the one they would have to erase to protect themselves. The stranger smiled, slow and lethal. "It's over, Victor." Victor stared at him, knowing, understanding, and for the first time in his entire goddamn life. Victor St. James knew what it felt like to be a man without power. Chapter 7, The Collapse of Gods. Victor St. James had built an empire of shadows. The Black Orchid wasn't just a place. It was an institution, a cathedral of depravity and control, its foundations laid with blood, silence, and obedience. For decades, it had remained untouched, unchallenged, hidden in the deepest veins of power where governments bent their heads, where wealth meant law, and where men like Victor were more than men, they were gods. And yet, in the span of a single night, a stranger had walked into his kingdom and set fire to its walls. The recording still hung in the air, an echo that refused to fade. The crowd had heard the voice, a man who was supposed to be dead, a man whose existence should have been erased. But now, his words were here, played aloud in the very hall where power was meant to remain absolute. Victor's body was tense like steel, his jaw locked, his mind running faster than it ever had. Every instinct told him to act. To salvage control. To shut this down. But then, he did something he had never done before. He turned to Helena. And in her emerald eyes, he saw the truth. She wasn't looking at him the way she used to. Not like a man she admired. Not like a man she respected. Not even like a man she needed anymore. She was watching him with curiosity, as if wondering whether he was still worth playing with. And in that moment, Victor realized something far worse than the stranger's betrayal. Helena was choosing sides. And she wasn't choosing his. A kingdom without a king. The murmurs in the room were rising now, voices laced with unease, doubt, and something even more dangerous, uncertainty. The Black Orchid was built on the unshakable belief that Victor and Helena were untouchable. That no one could question them. That no one could touch them. And yet, tonight, they had been questioned. Tonight, they had been touched. Victor clenched his jaw, watching as the guests exchanged looks. Wealthy, dangerous men who had never feared him before, now wondering if they should. Helena's voice cut through the tension, slow and deliberate. "Well," she murmured, tilting her head at the stranger, "what an interesting turn of events." Her tone was light, almost amused. But Victor heard it, heard what she wasn't saying. She wasn't rushing to defend him. She wasn't playing the role of the devoted wife, standing by his side, helping him take back the room. She was watching. Watching to see if he could survive this on his own. And if he couldn't? Well, perhaps it was time for a new king. Victor inhaled sharply. "This means nothing," he bit out. The stranger smirked. "Oh, Victor," he murmured. "You're losing your edge." Victor ignored him. Refused to give him the satisfaction. Instead, he turned back to the room, straightening his shoulders, forcing himself to become the man they had all feared for so many years. "The Black Orchid is bigger than this," he said coldly. "One voice, one recording, will not bring it down." He let his gaze sweep over the crowd, hard and merciless. "We are above the laws of men." The guests shifted uncomfortably. Not because his words weren't true, but because for the first time, they weren't so sure anymore. And in this world, uncertainty was deadly. The stranger leaned forward, fingers resting lightly on the velvet betting table. "You keep telling yourself that, Victor." Victor exhaled through his nose, his patience hanging by a thread. "What do you want?" The stranger smiled, but it wasn't a friendly smile. "What do I want?" He tilted his head. "I want to watch you burn." Victor's breath hitched. For the first time that night, something inside him coiled in unease. Not fear. Not yet. But something dangerously close to it. Because the way the stranger said it, so calm, so certain, Victor knew he wasn't bluffing. He wasn't here to blackmail him. He wasn't here to take his money, his club, his power. No. He was here to end him. Victor's muscles tensed, every inch of his body screaming to act, to do something. And then, the lights cut out. The room plunged into darkness. Someone screamed. Glass shattered. And then, in the pitch-black void, the gunfire began. The fall of the Black Orchid. Victor hit the ground, rolling behind one of the chairs as the first bullets tore through the walls. The guests were screaming now, shoving, pushing, running for the exits that had suddenly been locked. Chaos erupted. The air reeked of panic and gunpowder. Victor's mind moved fast, cataloging everything at once. Someone had cut the power. Someone had sealed the doors. And someone, not the stranger, but someone else, was killing his guests. This wasn't just a coup. It was a purge. And Victor knew he wasn't meant to survive this. Helena was already moving, slipping through the shadows like a ghost. She wasn't looking for him. She was looking for the winner. Victor's breath hitched. She had already chosen her side. And it wasn't his. Another round of gunfire tore through the hall, bodies dropping like stones. Victor moved, weaving through the chaos, adrenaline roaring through his veins. "Get out! Get out! Get out!" His entire empire was crumbling. The Black Orchid, untouchable, invincible, was burning around him. And no one was coming to save him. He had ruled this world. And now? Now he was just another man running for his life. The end of a king. He barely made it to the back hallway, his breathing ragged, his pulse pounding like a drum in his skull. His car. He just needed to get to his car. He shoved through the exit, stumbling into the cold night air. And froze. The stranger was already there. Waiting. Helena stood beside him. Calm. Serene. Untouched by the chaos she had just walked away from. Victor's throat tightened. She had betrayed him. And he had never even seen it coming. The stranger smiled. "I told you, Victor." He lifted a gun. "It's over." Victor barely had time to breathe before. Bang. Pain exploded through his chest. His knees hit the pavement. The stars above him blurred. Helena sighed. "Pity," she murmured, tilting her head. "You really thought you were untouchable, didn't you?" Victor's vision darkened. The last thing he saw was Helena smiling down at him, her lips parting. "Goodbye, my love." And then, nothing.